Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf Hayomi Bava Matzia Daf Kuf Vav. We are holding at the Mishnah on Kuf Hei Amud Beis, seven lines from the bottom of the Amud. Says the Mishnah, Makabel Sada Mechaveroi, if a fellow undertook to care for Reuven's farm. She's going to work it throughout the season, and they have this arrangement where Shimon is a choicher. Okay, in this case, says Rashi, he's giving him a flat amount. Okay, a flat fee. 100 pounds, 100 bushels for the season. So Shimon was makabel the field from Reuven, but achla chogav. And misfortune struck. He planted it, it grew nicely, but then the locusts came about and had a big meal and obliterated the crop. They became windblown. A big storm came and knocked them out. So he lost, let's say, part of the crop. So the question is, can Shimon now deduct from that flat rate? Could he say, look, we both share this experience. We both share the experience. We should both share the expense as well. And each one of us should take a hit relative to our, part. So it depends. If this makah, this calamity, is a affected, the entire area. It's a national, tragedy. It's a natural disaster. It wasn't just that it hit this specific field. If it's a broad makah, then the owner cannot attribute it to the sharecropper's mazel. He can't say, well, it's your fault. Everybody was hit equally. So he has a right, Shimon has a right to deduct, to take a deduction as a result of this downturn of events. He can deduct from the, proportionally from the amount that he's going to give to the owner. But if it's not a makas medina, it's a local hit, a local tragedy. In this case, he cannot deduct. And Rashi says, because the owner can say, look, mazlach hagaram, it's your bad mazel that caused this, and therefore you still owe me whatever you promised me. It's like a rent. You have to pay me rent, regardless of whether you're successful in your business or not. So that is Tanakam. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, well, it depends. Im kibla himenu b'mois. Suppose, initially, the deal entailed Shimon paying Reuven money. Instead of giving him actual crop material from the field, he's going to give him, a set amount of money per year, like a rental fee. Bankach, whether or not it was a local calamity, einoi menakule mechakori, even if it was an area-wide calamity, he will not get a deduction. And Rashi explains, why? Because the gzera min hashamayim, the decree applied to crop, to grain. Did not apply to money. What money was not affected by this gezerah, by this decree from Shemayim? Look, all the money out there is safe and sound, and I deserve to get my pay. Your crop is affected, but not my money. So the sharecropper gets no deduction. So the Mishnah says a makas medina allows him to deduct. The question is, how do we define this term makas medina? How broad does it have to be to constitute a makas medina? Hey, chidam a makas medina. We have two opinions. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, kegoin de ishta v'ruba de baga. Baga is the valley where the field was situated. So most of the area was affected by this calamity. That's called makas medina. Ula Amar, he gives a different approach. Kegoin shenishtadfu arba. It doesn't have to be so broad. Kegoin shenishtadfu arba sada is ma'abru chesel. As long as the four fields adjacent to this one, surrounding this one, were affected as well. So that makes it a makas medina. It indicates that it's not just an isolated, it's not just a local issue, it's a much broader issue. The whole area was affected, in which case it cannot be attributed to his personal, bad mazel. Omar Ullah, here comes a string of shilas pertaining to various, variations of this type of scenario. So it has to be surrounded, right? To what extent? Bo b'marov, and Eretz Yisrael, they asked like this, Nishtav, tell him echad al pnei kula amai. Okay, so we have one field that was struck by this, let's say, shidafin, it was windblown. And the fields immediately surrounding this one, circling this one, were not fully affected. Only one strip of land of the neighboring fields which encircle this one, right next to this one, the one in the middle, were affected as well. So the affected area spread, it goes beyond the actual field, this one here, it goes a little bit into the neighboring fields. But only a little strip was affected, not the entire fields. Nishtam echad, telam echad apnei kulamai. Is that sufficient enough? Is that enough to be considered a broader issue or not? Next question. What about the other way around? All the fields in the area, this one and the surrounding ones, were hit. But nishtayer telam echad apnei kulamai. Let's say there's a strip of land of the neighboring field surrounding this one, which was not affected. So the one in the middle was affected, all four around them were, minus the strip of property immediately adjacent, right next to this middle one. So that sort of creates a hefsek, a gap between the one in the middle and the other ones around surrounding it, which were affected as well. So it's not contiguous, that's the problem. Right? So can we connect them and say, well, it's a Makas Medina, it's a broader issue, or no, it's an isolated issue. The fact is, there's no continuity here. No, what's the halacha? Next question. If Sika Biramai, let's say the middle field, the affected field, was surrounded by uncultivated fields. So obviously they were not affected because nothing was growing, right? Can the fellow say, look, if they would have planted in those fields, perhaps they would have been affected as well? So it's not just an isolated case. On the other end, you can say, well, who says, right? The fact is, only your field was affected, and it's a local issue. Bira mai, asfasta mai. Suppose the field right in the middle, the affected field, is surrounded by fields that were planted with asfasta rather than human food. It was animal feed, animal grass. And they were not affected by this calamity. Shall we say, well, that's an indication, that's a local issue, it's your issue. Or no, because they were asfasta, if they would have been planted with tvua, perhaps they would have been included in the gzera as well. And that makes it a makas medina. Is there an achar mai? Okay, let's say asfasta is right. It's just one point. Rashi says that we're speaking in both cases, in the case of the fallow fields and the case of the asfasta fields, that the fields in the greater area were affected. So basically, the one in the middle was affected. The ones in the outlying areas were, the ones surrounding, you know, but the fields immediately surrounding, encircling the middle one, were not affected. So the question is, whether they make a hefsek between the encircled one which was affected and the outer circle which were affected, is a hefsek, it's not continuous, and therefore you don't consider it a makas medin, it's not considered one calamity. And we're speaking that the ones that were not affected were either fallow or growing as asfasta. Now comes a new question, zera achar mai, they were planted with a different type of a different variety of plants. They were not affected. Do we say, well, they make a hefsek? You can no longer connect the one in the middle that was affected with the outlying ones that were affected as well, because look, these ones were not affected, the ones that are actually encircling the middle one. Or do you say, no, well, it's because they were planted with a different thing, but otherwise they would have been included in the gzera as well? Now let's say if it's really a different type of zera, then you just skip over it, right? It's not considered a hefsek. And you do combine the one in the middle to the ones on the outside. But let's say the middle one here is chitim, and the ones that are immediately encircling it are sa'irim. And the sa'irim were not affected by this gzeira, by this calamity. Do we treat it the same way as a totally different species? Or do you say no? Well, you know, chitim and sa'irim are close enough in family. They're both chameshes mine dogan, and if it would have affected the sa'irim as well. If it would have been one collective gzeira. Or do you say no? Fact is, this is one type, this is another type. You sort of skip over it and connect the middle chitim to the outlying chitim, and if they're all affected, you say it's, you know, it's a national disaster and it's a Makas Medina. So we have a string of questions regarding, you know, different variations of potential Makas Medina. Here comes one more last question. Let's say everybody else was affected by the Shidafain calamity, wind blown, right? And his field was affected by Yerokin. So the plants grew in an abnormal way, in a strange color, and basically they did not develop properly. So they all suffered, but for different reasons. Do you connect it? Do you say it's all one collective experience or not? Inami, alternatively, everybody else had Yerokin. He had Shidaf. Shalabi Shidaf, Mai. Do you connect them into one thing or not? Take it, we'll leave it standing. Unresolved. Here comes another shayla. Amalei Zara Chiti. Reuven, the owner, instructs the sharecropper, please, okay, you're going to plant wheat, right? V'azalhu v'zara sa'ari. Shimon proceeds and decides to plant sa'ir, barley. V'shtadav ruba debago. And the whole area got affected. V'shtadav nami hanach sa'ari dilei. And his barley was included in this calamity. My, what's the aloha in this case? Mi aminan, can we say, the sharecropper can turn to the owner and say, look, ilu zarata chiti, even if we would have planted it as I was supposed to with chitim, hava nami mishtata, even if you would have done the chitim, it would have also been affected. Look, everybody got affected this year. Oidil matzi amalei. On the other hand, the owner can tell the sharecropper, why playing games? If you would have listened to my instructions, we would have been spared. Ilu zarat achiti, have a makayim, be. The following concept, the following pasuk, would have applied to me. I would have been spared because that's what I davened for. Vatigzor, imer, vayokim lecho, when you daven, a tzaddik daven, Hashem listens. And Rashi says, vani loy bikashti min ha-shamayim, betchilas ha-shamayim, guess what I davened for, Rosh Hashanah? She had tzlecheni v'so'erim. I didn't ask for barley, I asked for wheat. I doubted for wheat. I would have been successful. Why'd you switch it to Sa'irim? It's your fault. So which way is it? Says the Gemara, he has a point. Mistavra de Amrle. So we accept this argument. He can tell him, Izarat achiti hava mukayim bi, ba tigzer, aimer, ba yokum locha, ba aldra chechanoigar. All your ways are lit up. You have successful endeavors. Because of your tefillah. And you doubted for chitim? You didn't have chitim. He decided to switch to Sa'irim, that's his issue. And you can't deduct from your payment to the owner. Now what about the following case? Nishtadfu kosadaisa shal machir. So Reuben is the owner, the machir, the one that hired the chaychad. All his entire estate got destroyed this year. All his crops failed, right? Nishtadfu nami hobadayu. And this field as well, this one here, was also struck. But interestingly, the rest of the fields in the area were not affected. Were not destroyed. My, what is the halacha here? Mi aminan, shall we say? Well, listen, if it's just a local issue, then the chaycher cannot make any deductions. We attribute it to his bad mazel. Oh, he didn't know. Perhaps he can say, well, this case is different. Because there's good reason to believe that the owner is at fault. It's the owner's issue. Look, all his entire estate got affected this year. Kibbe the shtad of Kularate, since all his fields failed, Matsu Yamalei, the sharecropper, can tell him, look, give him a little musr. Hi, Mishum Lasach Tadachu. You know why this happened to the field? It's your issue. It's your mazal. It's your punishment. I'll prove it to you. The mishtad for Kosa de Sech. Look, all your fields were affected this year. Is that a good argument? Yeah. Mistavu, Darmalei. Oh, no. Says the Gemara, no, actually, no. Reuben can respond. If it would have been my issue, my bad mazel, my einesh, Hashem would have left over a little bit for me. As an expression of midas harachmim, compassion, as the pasuk says, k'nisharnu ma'at meharbi, we left over a little bit. Hashem leaves over a little bit. Doesn't totally destroy a person. So the fact that everything was destroyed, including this one, cannot be attributed to my mazel. Rather, it's your fault. It's your mazel. It's your bad luck, and you have to provide for me as promised. No deductions. What about neshtatva chosadaisav shal choicher? Now we'll go the other way. Shimon the choicher had a troubling year, challenging year. All his fields were affected. All failed. Vishtaduv rubadabago. And likewise, the entire area, the entire valley over here, was struck. Vishtaduv namiyo badayu. And this one as well. Maya, what's the status in this case? Miyamin, shall we say, given the Ishtadav Rudabaga, since the whole area was affected, okay, that's Makas Medina. It's a classic Makas Medina. Menakele. So this allows for a deduction. Oidimu or, given the Ishtadav Kula Arate, since Shimon's entire estate failed this year, Motzi Yomalei, so that gives Reuben justification to claim Mishum Lasach Tadachu. Perhaps the reason why this field failed as well is because of your mazel. Look, I'll prove it to you. You had a bad year, the Mishtatva Kosa Desach. All your fields failed. Says the Gemara, this time he's right. Mistavar Darmalei. It's Mistavar that he can tell him. Yeah, Mishum Lasach, it's your mazel. It's your fault. Asks the Gemara, why is this different than the previous case? Am I? Hachinami Nemalei. Here as well, Shimon can respond to Reuben and say, look, Yimishum Lasoy Dedihu, if in fact it's all attributed to me, Hashem would have left over a little bit, right? He would have applied, fulfilled on me the pasuk and Ishana Matme Harbi. A little bit would have been left over. The fact that this went along and failed as well, apparently it's not attributed to me, it's your issue. The answer is Mishum Ba'amalim, because the owner can tell him in response, Ihava Chazis, Liish Tayura Lachamidi. You know what? If you would have been worthy of Hashem, leaving something over for you, you know where it would have been left over? On your own field, not on this field, which is technically mine. And the fact that nothing was left over in the other fields, everything got swept along this, everything failed, everything, apparently you were not worthy of this special, expression of Rahmanas, and bottom line, it's all your issue, it's your mazel, pay up. Okay, let's go back to the root issue here, the fundamental halacha, which is if the crop fails, if it's a makas medina, if it's a broader issue, then the chaycher doesn't have to take responsibility. He can deduct, as per the losses, right? Meisve, here comes a kash on this concept. So here we're speaking about a fellow who purchased a field. Halacha is, the pasuk says, the seller cannot go back and rebuy the field unless he allowed the buyer to enjoy the field for at least 2 years. Kemispar shnei tvois im kolach. 2 seasons, 2 years. Okay. Now let's say one or two of those seasons were failed seasons. Hoyseshna shidafin v'irakin oishviyas oishviyas. You can't plan the shmita. Oisha yishanim kishnei liyo. Was a extremely droughtful year, the drought year, you couldn't plant anything, like during Elio and Avi's times. Does it count as one of the 2 years? No, you don't count it as part of the two. You need to have the ability to grow and to plant. So now let's take a close look at this price. The price sort of pierced together all these circumstances. Shidofen, Yerokin, Dum, you're comparable to the drought years, the Shonim, the Kishnelio. So let's compare the two. Ma shnei liyo, lo yavet tvo klal. Just like by the yo's drought, there was no ability to plant anything. Avachanami, lo yavet tvo klal. Likewise, Shidofen Yerokin is describing a situation where there's no growth at all. So then we say, okay, it doesn't count. Aval deika tvo, but let's say there is some tvo anywhere, right? Salkale. So, it does count as a crop year. Well, it can't be in Makas Medina. He would also say, well, it's a Makas Medina. The whole area was affected. It's not a year of growth. It's not a year of crop. We don't say that. And why in our mission do we say Max Medina is considered like a non-growth year? Amar of Nachmar Yitzchak Shani Hassan. There it's different. Amar Kod the Pasuk says, we misbash te shnei tvoi sim kalach. You leave it by him for 2 years of shnei tvoi, years of growth. Shalom sheish ben tvoi boil. As long as anywhere in the world there's growth, it counts for the 2 years. So it's totally a non-growth year, yeah, but if it's growing anywhere, it's okay. Amalei Rav Ashi Rav Kana, if that's the case, Amalei Shviyas Talei Me'aminin. So Rav Shvita. It doesn't count. Why doesn't it count in the case of the redeeming the rebuying the salt field, right? Why doesn't Shvita count as 1 or 2 years? Talei Me'aminin. You know why? Somewhere, anywhere in the world, there is Tvua. Go outside Eretz Yisrael. They're planting today. No, you could Tvua B'chutz La'aretz. Amalei, he says Shviyas Avkata D'Malki. Shviyas is a totally different story. Rashi says like this. Rashi around halfway down the Omer. Avkata demalka. Hamelech bitloi milazera. The pasuk Hashem, the Torah, canceled it. It's an off year. Varayik mosheina. It's as though it doesn't exist. It doesn't exist in a farming, context. V'loikara akosal yisroel shnas tvoa. The Torah would not relate to this year as a shnas tvoa with respect to Klal Yisrael. It's not reckoned. It doesn't exist. That's the case that Shemitah is a non-existing entity with respect to farming. Let's move on to a different topic. A fellow is magdish his field and he wants to redeem it. Halacha is he has to pay a sela and a pundia in a certain amount of money per year remaining till the Shemitah. That's to the Yovel, right? By the way, all these halachas here, right, the previous one and this one, is only when the Yovel is in session. Okay, when Klal Yisrael lived in Eretz Yisrael, right? So basically, you're redeeming a karka, a property, a farm from the Hegdish. You're only going to have it until you're able. So you pay, a certain amount per year that you're going to have until you're able. Don't count for Shemitah. You can't plant on Shemitah to deduct for the Shemitah years. Why does the Mishnah indicate otherwise? We don't deduct for the upcoming Shemitah years. You give a sela and a puni per year. Remaining till the Yovel, even including the Shemitah. Amalei, he says, well, Shani Hasam, there it's different because you can still use it somewhat. You can use it a bit on Shemitah. The Chazya, it's still useful. The Mishtacha, but Peri, you can spread your fruit to dry on the property, so you can still use it. Therefore, he has to pay for Shemitah use as well. Amar Shmuel. Back to the Halacha and the Mishnah, that if the the farmer, the sharecropper farmed and he planted and it was a failed crop. So if it's a Makas Medina, right? If it's a broader issue, then we account for it. Amar Shmuel Eshom, that's only true L'Shazor V'Tzamcha, if he endeavored, if he made an effort, he planted it and it grew. And then the locusts came to visit. Well, let's say he took a vacation. The farmer never even bothered planting that year. Why? He can't claim any deductions. You know why? The Amalei, because the owner can tell him, you lose a rata if you would have, but just tried, you would have made the effort. Hashem would have given you a special bracha. Hashem would have applied to me the pasuk, right? They won't lack anything, even in a time of famine, right? I would have gotten a bracha. All you need to do is try. He didn't even try. Masar of Sheshes, we have a kash on this. We rely on miracles. I mean, Raya Shay Raya. We have a shepherd looking after the flock. He left go. He abandoned his flock. He came to town for lunch. Right? Ubar ze'ev v'toraf. While he was gone, a wolf came along, attacked the animal. Ubar re'vedoras, a lion came and attacked. We don't say, well, ilu yoshama yematza. If only the fellow would have been there, he would have fended off the attack. We don't say that. That's not an automatic assumption. It has to be based on reality. So we evaluate the situation. If he's a strong enough fellow, he could have fended off the attacker. Fine. Chayev, then he's chayev for abandoning his sheep. But if he couldn't have done so anyway, then he's not chayev. The question is why? He never even made an attempt. Based on your reasoning, Neymar, we can say, look, Neymar, he can tell the shepherd, if only you would have been there, Hashem would have made a miracle for you. Hava mekayem. Hashem would have applied to you the pasuk, right, that we find over there, Gam Asari, Gam Asadoiv, right? Yikavdecha, Shem Shana Giba, right? We struck down all the wild animals. answer is like this. Mishum da'amar le, because the shepherd can respond to him. You're being such a big tzaddik, you're expecting miracles. Well, you should have had a miracle without me. Mishum da'amar le, obvious chazes. If you would have been worthy, if you're so righteous that you would have been worthy of a big neis, to have a miracle occur for you, have a shrachshel nisa, guess what? Then you would have had a miracle without my presence. Like we find in the story, Rabbi Chanina ben Doisa, right? That was a story that they found the chicken and turned into, produced the eggs, and it became too much, and they switched it for goats. The neighbors were complaining that the goats were eating off their grass. He said they weren't. He was guarding them, and he said, look, if I'm right, they should come out of the forest holding beers on their carrying beers on their horns, right? Rabbi Chanina ben Doisa, the Masjan, easy dubi b'karnai, they struck down the beers. So if you're such a righteous man, your measly goat should have fended off the scary lion, right? So the fact that it didn't happen pretty much puts your argument to rest. But name a label, the owner can still say, look, there are different levels of miracles, right? I wasn't worthy of this great, unusual nais to have my goats fend off the lion, but lanisa zuta chazina, perhaps I would have been worthy for a smaller nes. Meaning, if you would have been there, Hashem would have given you special heavenly assistance to fend off the attackers. Chazina, kasha, we leave it as a kasha. Yeah, we don't really have a response to that kasha. Tani chad. Okay, let's go back to the to the main halacha, where the chaycher can excuse himself by saying, look, Makas Medina, it's a national tragedy, and I would like a deduction, right? Tani chada. Pam rishoyna v'shniya zoyra. He's got to try a few times. So he planted once, it grew, the locust came and ate it up. You have to try again. V'shniya, right? Pam rishoyna v'shniya zoyra. But if it happens twice, v'shlishis eino yzoyra, he's not required to try again. Right? We have another girsa, another shita. Shlishi zera, three times he has to try. Rabbi is enu zera, once it happens three times, it's wind blown three times, that's it. This year is a bad year, bad mazel. Try again next year. So three times he has to try, but that's it. Three attempts and no more. Rabbi is enu zera. Lekasha really isn't a numachlek. It's really based on an old discussion. What constitutes a track record? Ha, the first price which says that two attempts establishes a track record. That's like Shitas Karebi, who says twice is considered a chazaka. I see where it's going. That's it. I'm going home. Ha, the second brisa, which says three attempts are required. That's going to Rav Shimon Gamliel, who says repeating something three times, that establishes a track record. And the Gemara explains. Right. Ha, Karebi, the Omar betrays him name of a chazaka. The first brisa, which says twice, like Rebbe, that twice makes a chazaka. Ha, the second brisa, which requires three times, is going to Rav Shimon Gamliel, the Amar, but lazimni three times, have a chazak. Continues the Gemara. Amar Rish Lakish. Loi Shana, when do we say that a couple of times, a couple of attempts, is considered sufficient and would allow for the sharecropper to actually deduct from his obligations? Elisha Zoravit Samcha V'achal Chagav. We're speaking that he planted it, it grew, and the locusts came and devoured the crop. But let's say he tried planting it and it never really grew yet. So in this case, he can't just suffice with a couple of attempts. He has to keep on trying. So the owner can tell him, he can say, look, keep on trying. Kol yimei zera, zara lava azl. You know, the planting season extends until, it takes a couple of months for the season to be over. I mean, you can keep on trying until the season is over. And the Bach adds, that was speaking that the other farms in the area were successful in their planting attempts. So you have to keep on trying. But Amos, until what point? What's the limit? Amara papa, until the middle of Chodesh Adar. Wow. And he puts the following formula to the state. He says, look, ad de osu arisi midabra. until the point in the year where the arisen, the sharecroppers, on their return from the farms, which Rashi says around 9-10 hours into the day, at that point, v'kaimo kima, there's a mazel called kima. Rashi says it's the tail of the mazel teleh. Arishayu, it's situated right in the middle of the sky, right above their heads. So at that point in the year, which Rashi says actually falls out in the middle of the year, yimei ador. So basically, it's a long planting season all the way to the end of the winter. To keep on trying, maybe you'll be successful. Maybe here comes a kash on that. Planting season stretches all the way till the middle, till the days of Ador. Have a brayse, Rabban Shimon. Ben Gamliel Mishur Meir Eimer. V'chein hayir Rabban Shimon Manasseh Mekidvarav. It was concurred with Rabban Shimon Manasseh. This is based on the pasuk by the after the Mabul, where the Torah references six different parts of the year. You have Zera, Katzir, Koir, V'chaim, Kayetz, V'chayref. Right. So the pasuk there mentions all these different seasons. When do they fall? So we have like this. One opinion says it begins Chatzi Tishrei, middle of Tishrei, around Sukkot's time. That's when Zera begins. That's the ideal planting time. And that stretches for 2 months. So every one of these periods stretches for 2 months. Right? So a total of six different seasons, each one 2 months. You have a total of 12 years, it covers the year. So you begin with Chatzi Tishrei, into Mar Cheshvan, V'chatzi Kislev, halfway into Kislev, a total of 2 months. That is the time of sowing, of planting. Now we have phase two of the planting season. Those types of crops that can be planted later, they grow faster, they don't need to be done so early in the season, Chatzi Kislev. So you begin Chatzi Kislev into Teves, V'chatzi Shvat, all the way to the middle of Shvat, that's a total of 2 months. That's called Chayref. Rashi says these are the quick-growing items, so you plant them later in the season. That's it, we're done. That's it, into Shvat, planting season is over. Then Chatzi Shvat, the remainder of the Chayde Shvat, into Adar V'chatzi Nisan, that's considered Kher, that's the coldest part of the year, it's the end of the winter, you don't plant then. Then we go on to Chatzi Nisan, Ir V'chatzi Sivan, that's Katzer, time of harvest. Chatzi Sivan, Tamaz V'chatzi Av, that's Kayetz, the time to spread the figs, etc., for drying in the fields. Chatzi Av, Elav V'chatzi Tishrei, Chen, that's the hottest part, end of the summer. And that covers your year. So planting season stretches, according to this opinion, stretches into the month of Shvat. That's it. Rabbi Yehuda Moinim mit Tishrei, he takes it a step back. Instead of beginning mid-Tishrei, you start at the beginning of Tishrei. So 2 months Zera, 2 months Chorev. So Tishrei, Cheshvan, that's Zera. Kislev Teves is also somewhat of the planting season. That's it. No, not past that. Rabbi Shimon Moinim mar Cheshvan, he starts from Cheshvan. So Cheshvan and Kislev is Zera, Teves and Shvat is Chorev, but that's it, we're done. Nobody takes it into Adar. Man Mekel Biku, who stretches the season the furthest of all? Rabbi Shimon. He's still not going into Adar. Bikuli Yadlika Amar. And earlier we said that the planting season goes into the Adar month. Like Kasha answers like this, Hadakibu Mneba Charfi. Typically, a person's makabel to plant, standard, typical, conventional, grains like Rashi says, chitin, b'shifain, wheat, rye. These are typically planted at the beginning of the season, beginning of the winter. Ha, the kibbul menei ba'afli. Whereas the other halacha was referring to somebody who was makabel to plant the late-growing, sa'irim. Rashi says, kitnis, beans, barley. These are planted in Adar. Rabbi da'ayim kibbul menei ba'mois. A fellow was makabel, a property, to plant in it tumi, garlic. Agudud Namalka Saba, this property was located at the on the riverbank of the Nohar of the river called Malka Saba. Bizuzi. Now his commitment was to provide the owner with a set amount of money per year. He wasn't going to give him from the actual crop, in this case it's the garlic, right? Rather he was going to do a payout. And what happened? It didn't work out. They dammed up, they stuffed up Nahar Malka, Saba. They couldn't use it for watering the fields. Also, the Rabbi, it comes to Rabbi. Amrali, he says, look, Rabbi responds, Nar Malka Saba, this grand river here, L'yavah the Miskar, it's not typical that it's, you know, it's blocked up, right? That it's plugged up. Malka's Medini, this is not attributed to him, this is a general issue. Zil Nakele, you have a right to deduct your losses. Amalei Rabban the Rabbis, Rabban responded to Rabbi, what happened to our Mishnah? Hanan Tanan, in our Mishnah we learn, Rabbi the Aymim, Kibble Menem B'mois, if he committed to actually giving him a payout, a monetary payout, in lieu of a portion of the actual crop, money is not affected. It's not affected by these calamities. He's has to stick to his commitment. Benkech, hamekech, whether it's a local issue or it's a broader issue, even if it's a makas medina, he gets no deductions. Einay manak lem l'chakoyrei. So why are you giving him a deduction? Amalei, lehus, Rabbi responded, no, we don't paskin like that. Lest the chashlad, Rabbi, nobody adopts Rabbi the Shita, that's not how we paskin. After all, if it's a makas medina, if it's a national tragedy, if it's a broader calamity, you can't attribute it to the chaycher, it's not his mazel, and he has a right to deduct. Says the Mishnah, Makabel, Sodom Chaver Basoro Kurim Chitim Lashon. Here Rashi says, we're speaking about a chaycher, okay? So he's going to cultivate the field and provide the owner with a set amount, a flat rate, which happened to be 10 kur of chitim lashana per year. Veloksa. And this time the farm did produce, but the wheat was, you know, inferior quality. Nice and light mitzaycha. So the sharecrop has full right to give him the 10 kur from this crop, despite the fact that it's poor quality. Now let's say, in the reverse, let's say it grew amazing quality wheat. So the sharecropper doesn't want to give him from that wheat. You can't tell the owner, look, I'm going to buy from the market and give you the 10 kur from there. No, he has full responsibility to give him a portion of this actual crop, because that's the understanding, that's the commitment that typically you give him from the crop. Well, if it's not available, then you have to buy off the market. But if it's available, we have no right to avoid that. How gava the kabel arlas fasta? So a fellow here was makabel a land to grow asfasta, this green grass, the animal feed, which grows very quickly. And he committed to provide the owner with bikuri de sa'ari, a kur of barley, that's my payment. And this fellow was a quick-thinking fellow. You know what he did? He doubled up of the asfasta. First he planted asfasta, and then he planted the barley, figuring, okay, he'll grow some barley and use that as payment instead of buying it off the street. Again, he plowed, he planted. Sari planted barley. And he wasn't so successful. The barley crop failed. And apparently it was a Makas Medina, right? Okay. So basically, he wants to get away with it. He wants to it came out poor quality. It grew, but it wasn't the best quality. So the question is, can he provide the owner with this material? So he sent the question. Rachaviv Misura the Pras sent the question to Rabbi and to Ravina. Okay, Governor Maya, how would you deal with this situation? Shall we compare it to the Mishnah? It grew poor quality stuff. He can still provide that to the owner. Or maybe not. Amarle, he says, no, you can't compare it to the Mishnah. Me dummy. How do you compare the two? In the case of the Mishnah, look, he was commissioned to plant wheat. And he planted wheat, right? And it didn't really, the field did not really conform. It didn't really follow instructions, the owner's instructions. The owner wanted wheat. It didn't really work out too well. So basically, we attribute the failure to the owner. Okay, so he gets whatever it is, whatever is left, 10 kur of the poor quality stuff. But in our case, he wasn't really commissioned to plant barley there. He was meant to plant asfasta, right? That's what the owner instructed. That's what the owner expected. And guess what? The property followed instructions. He did exactly as instructed. When it came to the asfasta, the first crop, bumper crop. Perfect. the sharecropper try to chop a rye and slip in some barley. Okay, that's not really part of the deal. So here, if it didn't really work out so well, he has no right to give him this poor quality barley. He has to go find him good barley and provide that to the owner. Okay, this is sort of attributed to the mazel of the farmer, of the sharecropper, and therefore he has to replace them. We have a similar story with a fellow who commissioned a vineyard. Haugav the couple Pardisa, right? Mechavrei be'eser dani chamra. And in exchange, he's going to provide him, his payment was going to be 10 barrels of wine. Okay, so he's going to work the vineyard, the grapes and all that, and he's going to produce some wine, 10 of which will go to the, 10 barrels to the owner. And guess what happened? Tokif ha'uchamra, the wine went sour. Okay, can he still give him those barrels? It's your wine, it's your field. Sovrav kana l'meimar, so he figured, okay, that's a perfect example of Al-Mishnah, ha'ne mas'nisen. Loksa, if the crop fails, there's let me tell you, I can still provide him the failed crop, because it's your field, this is what I promised you. Amalei Ravashi, so Ravashi responded with a distinction. Midomi, I had to compare the two things. Ha'asamali of the Arash Techusa. Okay, so the Mishnah, once again, the land was supposed to produce wheat, right? The owner had expected wheat, and poor quality wheat was produced, so he gets that. He has to live with it. Ha'cha avdu Arash Techusa, here, the property, the vineyards, so to speak, did follow instructions. It produced perfect grapes. So in terms of what it did for the owner, perfect job, right? The thing is that the sharecropper, the fellow, took those grapes, used them to produce wine. The wine is his production. It's his personal thing. Now if the wine fails, the wine sours, it's his issue. It's the choicher's issue. It's the worker's issue. It's his mazel. Rashi brings the Gemara Baba Basra, chamra, wine, akat for the garver shavar. It's like riding on its owner's shoulders. They share the same mazel, right? So don't blame the failure on the owner. It's the farmer's issue. You promised him 10 barrels of good wine. Go find him good wine. Even Rashi would agree if the failure can be attributed to the actual raw material that grew in this fellow's in the owner's field. These grapes that were wormy. In the case of a grain field, so when they put the when they left the bundles of grain out in the field to dry, at that point it was still sort of connected, still being serviced by the field. So at that point, if something goes wrong, the owner has to take a hit, because it's still part of his field, part of his growth. And any failure is attributed to the owner as well, in which case the farmer deserves a deduction. Okay, so we started with the halacha of a makabel who had a rough year, and the Mishnah makes a distinction between a local issue, in which case the farmer has to suffer, or it's a makas medina, a broader issue, in which case the owner will take a deduction as well. We define makas medina, we had several variations. And all kinds of situations where he deviated from his original plan, and all kinds of arguments back and forth, tefillah arguments, musar arguments, and then we went on to the halacha of the how many attempts have to be made in order to substantiate his claim. We discussed the planting season until when it stretches, and then we moved on to the halacha about a choicher who must provide from the actual field, despite the fact that the field really produced really good stuff. On the other hand, if it produced weak stuff, he can provide from field as well. Unless we have these cases with the wine or the double crop, which wasn't really expected. In that case, the sharecropper has to take it on himself. All the best to you.